New Year, Northern Colorado. This is the whole show powered by PDC Energy on Northern Colorado's Voice 103.1 and 1310 KFKA. Glad to be back. I was on assignment last week. That's what I like to call it when I take time off. I was on assignment. No, I got the week off. It was a staycation type of deal. Stuck at home with my wife and my kiddo. It was a great time. Did not escape watching several unique college football games, college basketball games, NFL games, Nuggets games. Of course, was very much plugged in to all of that. So we're going to be breaking into it. I was plugged in to this show that was the Broncos and Chargers fiasco yesterday. Listen, guys, we're going to bust into a lot of details on this, I know, but you're now at a point, if you're George Payton, you have to fire Vic Fangio. You have to. And you have to fire, you have to move on from that coaching staff. At least Pat Shurmur. This is out of control bad now. I mean, you have no reason, no business losing 34-13. I got to say this, guys. Drew Locke at your quarterback spot, he's played fine the last two games. I know maybe fine's not what we're looking for, but he's played fine. And Vic Fangio didn't see it in, he and Pat didn't see something at the beginning of the season where they said, hey, we want to try to, it's what I said from the beginning. You use a young quarterback that is about the same as Teddy, but you give him a shot. So watching Teddy these last 2 weeks just furthers that. Now, was he blowing anybody out the doors? Was he tearing it up? Unstoppable? No. But he's still a young product in the NFL. And you, that right there just shows the inability to make the right decision as far as who's playing your most important position. Should have never been Teddy Bridgewater, ever. Should have been Drew Locke from the get-go. So there's that. There's the clock management. Pat Shurmur calling this doozy of a play. Fourth and goal. You decide to go for it on fourth down. You know what? We like putting Drew Locke in weird situations. Let's put him in something like this.
Two backs, Gordon and Boone. Trickery. Caught, hitting the throw. Locke can't get there.
I mean, what are we doing? You don't even run trick plays. It's like this is just like the option that they ran, the read option for Drew Locke. You don't ever see him do that. You never see the Broncos do that. Yet, you know what? New quarterback in. Let's give it a shot. Here's another situation where you could make this game a little bit closer. You do it. You go for it. All right. You kind of feel like you got nothing to lose. Not really against the decision to go for it, but then we're going to run a trick play like that. Come on. Nobody on that roster has shown you that they can run trick plays like that. We haven't seen it. Again, Drew Locke, 18 of 25, 245 yards yesterday, one touchdown. He had a rating of 116. Overall, he has not been the problem. Now, I've had people already ask me this question, and it kind of goes to our new, brand new sponsor of this segment, by the way, the Method Flow Products. Poll question of the day is, do you think the Broncos should go after a quarterback in the draft or go all in on trading or signing free agent quarterback, big name quarterback? I didn't put a Drew Locke option in there because even though I've defended Drew Locke, I feel like the Broncos and Locke's time is done. They ruined this guy. For better or worse, did Locke help himself all the time? No. He had some issues, but they didn't help him. Just that right there, putting him in a situation where you're running a trick play, sending him out on a pass. We don't got enough receivers. We're going to chuck out our quarterback and see what happens. First Advantage text line, 888-530-0043. 888-530-0043. Yesterday was frustrating. This is how it's been all year, though. You have Vic Fangio not knowing how to manage a clock, not knowing when to challenge plays, and you have Pat Shurmur, who is calling plays with no rhyme or reason as to why he's calling those plays. And it is frustrating. It's obviously frustrating. So there is no way George Payton can load this up again. All four. Vic, Pat, Teddy, and Drew. Because you're not keeping Teddy on at $23 million next year to be your backup quarterback. I feel like Drew Lock has the best chance of all four of them to be there. I really do now. This isn't a Drew Lock, Teddy Bridgewater thing. They're probably the same. They probably are. At the end of the day, those two guys are probably more alike than we've ever known. And I always went with, hey, go with the younger option at that point. But it's not really about that anymore. Now, this is year three for him. Time to move on from all of it. Get a different backup quarterback, and you either draft a guy, I did not vote for that option because I don't feel like this is a strong class. Watch, this will probably be one of the strongest classes ever. But I do feel like this team has to do something completely different now. And you know, those of you who are saying, hey, you can't draft a quarterback because the Broncos don't have the personnel to bring one up. Well, that's true with what they have right now. But if you're George Payton, you have to go about this the right way. You have to get a young and up-and-coming coach from a good coaching tree that has either has a proven record or he's really good as an offensive coordinator. And I'm sorry, but maybe he's in that younger category of football. Now, I'm not against 60-year-olds being hired as a head coach. What I had a problem with Vic Fangio from the beginning is that you hired him at the age of 60, and that was his first head coaching job. Two questions immediately came to mind, right? Why is this his first head coaching job? And number two, is he kind of in that old school, he's an old school defensive coordinator guy? And he kind of is. And that style just doesn't seem to work. And whatever Pat Shurmur's doing is just mind-blowing. Mysterio says, it's like he's playing Madden against his 8-year-old nephew, thinking he's cool and super good. I guess that's as good as guess that I as I can give as far as why he calls the play calls he does. When they need to run more, he passes. When they need to pass more, he runs. When they just need to go by the book and hand the ball to one of your good running backs or try something short, Noah Fant was having a nice game. We're going to go with this wide receiver option throw out Philly special to Drew Lock. What is on tape showing you that Drew Lock, and I'm not like Drew Lock's not the reason that play failed, but why is that that's the option? You know, why fourth down and why with 2 yards to go?
Exactly.
It doesn't make any sense.
That was one of two goal to go situations where you didn't get what you needed to get.
It doesn't make any sense for Pat Shurmur to call the plays, this is Michael, by the way, to call the plays that he's doing, and he's done that all year. And again, I don't like to be that guy that questions guys that have been in football their entire lives. Because I love football. I'm a fan of football. I talk about football. I'm not drawing up plays. I'm not coaching young men out there or old men, whatever. But Pat Shurmur, folks, I'm telling you, right now, he is so bad that even the greenest of football fans can tell you, why did he do that right there? Why is he getting all fancy when you just have a few yards to get? That's a lot of play. That is a lot of real estate you're covering on a play for a couple of yards. I mean, you're right. Why go there? Why not go? If you're going to do a play like that, why fourth down? Why in the goal line like that? Now, again, how many times have we said, if that works, Pat Shurmur's a genius? Yeah, but it comes to the point where you've said it too many times and it never works. Nothing about this offense is imaginative. That even when they try to get imaginative, it's bad. First Advantage text line, 888-530-0043. It's great to be back, but I'm telling you, 6 years of missing the playoffs, this is unacceptable, Broncos country. Mark Kisla on the Denver Post is suggesting a boycott of this Broncos team coming up this Saturday. Game is Saturday, by the way. So the Broncos are going to have an extra day to go hire their next head coach. Why waste time now? Why not just be done with this thing? Vic Fangio's not... Listen, I'm sure he's a swell guy. I tweeted out there's a lot of similarities between Fangio and Steve Adazio, former CSU guy. I'm not talking about the character. I'm just talking about the decision-making, the head-scratching, the old-school mentality of football. I wanted it to work with Vic, but from day one, I thought it was a bad hire. I like all the other stuff he's about. Hard-nosed defensive guy. No nonsense when he talks to the media kind of guy. He's doing the meatball videos. He likes watching Hallmark. Like, all those things are fun. He goes and shows up and basically sweats to a steak joint and orders a cheeseburger. I like all those things. But at the end of the day, I was skeptical because why would you hire, in the day and age of hiring all of these up-and-coming guys, either proven or up-and-coming, like Sean McVay, young and up-and-coming football mind. Bruce Arians, proven head coach that can win at the highest of levels. You go those two routes. Why you go this route makes no sense. We're going to give him his first shot. Because I always said, best case scenario, he gives you what, 5 to 7 years? You hope anyway? This was not a good hire from the get-go. This was a big-time failure by John Elway, and it continues to rear its ugly head into this organization. 6 years of no playoffs. If you are not pissed today, you should be. This franchise is okay with winning a couple of games a year now. This franchise is fine with, you know what? We're not going to go after Aaron Rodgers, which I agreed with. We're not going to get younger at the quarterback position, which I also agree with. I agree they should have either gone with a proven commodity at the quarterback position or go younger, and they didn't do that either. No Aaron Rodgers, no Matt Stafford, no Andy Dalton, no Mac Jones, no Justin Fields. We'll go with Teddy Bridgewater. Now, I love the Patrick Surtain pick. I'm never going to apologize for that. I think that guy's going to be a Champ Bailey. So I'm not going to apologize for that at all. I think George Payton's draft was actually pretty good. But you can't pass on 5, 6, 7, 8 guys and then tell me we're going to go with Teddy Bridgewater. At least tell me we're going with Drew Lock because he's only had a little bit of football and we're going to start from the get-go with him, with Pat Shurmur, with a full real year together, and we're going to go there. But then they failed. The 50-50 competition, the coin flip BS was a joke. It was a sideshow. We should have snuffed this thing out at the beginning of the season in training camp. They were taking you all, us all, for fools. Vic Fangio was having fun, knowing it was Teddy Bridgewater from the beginning. Yes, I'm mad at the quarterback position because the two positions that have failed you the most, the three positions that have failed you the most, head coach, offensive coordinator, and quarterback. And those are the three you can't, and everything else is good. Everything else is pretty good. Even with you, with all the COVID and injury issues you've been dealing with, especially these last couple of weeks, the roster is good. This roster deserves better than what they're getting. Pat Shurmur should have never been hired. Didn't have the immediate track record. Vic Fangio should have never been hired. Teddy Bridgewater, you want to bring him here as a backup, okay, but he should have never been the starting quarterback. This should have been Drew Lock's team to lose. He should have played the first three games, and if he was not good in those easy games, then you move on. But everybody went nuts. Three games in, Teddy Bridgewater's 3-0, and he's looking like a great quarterback because you were playing three train wrecks of an organization, one of which fired their coach in Urban Meyer before the season even ended. That feels like a lifetime ago. Had a lot on my mind there. When you're off a week, you tend to keep it bottled up. Let's get to the good, the bad, the ugly, presented by FMS Bank, banking made simple. And I like this. You start with good news, because I just went off on this terrible fiasco that is this Broncos franchise. The good... How about the UNC Bears on Saturday beating Southern Utah, snapping Southern Utah's 20 home game win record? They were shooting flat out lights out all night.
And there's a move by John Knight, the third. He's erased at the rim by Bodie Hume. Big time block by Hume. In transition, Daylon Coutts gets to the rim. Coutts hits and hangs. Score it for Daylon Coutts, and it's a 10-3 lead for Northern Colorado. What a start for the Bears in Cedar City.
There's Jason Alvin filling in for Jerry Schimmel on Saturday. Great call. I sat down and listened to that one. That was a great game. And the Bears win 91-81. 41% from the three-point line. 17 of 41. And I'll talk more about my guy, though. Drew Cuxhausen had a beautiful night from the three-point line. Bodie Hume wasn't bad either. Matt Johns. I mean, this team can shoot three. That was fun. That was a fun one for the University of Northern Colorado. All right, the bad. The bad really is navigating through COVID postponements and cancellations. CSU, when's the last time they played? It was a long time ago. They're supposed to play tomorrow, but Air Force, are they having issues? Is CSU out of the woods yet? The Rams, who are now number 20, they are 20th in the country. 20. They moved up several spots. They have not played since Saturday, December 11th. They played December 11th against Mississippi State. They canceled the Tulsa game, canceled the Alabama game. The New Mexico game was postponed. They're supposed to play Air Force tomorrow. CU, on the other hand, is supposed to play tonight. They rescheduled their Oregon game for tonight. I'm guessing we're all good there. I haven't seen any kind of releases to lead me otherwise, but certainly bad. Tough to cover. Tough for the teams. Tough for the coaches. I get it. There's bigger things going on right now, but here we are again. The ugly for me. Yeah, you guessed it. The Broncos have now had six seasons of no playoffs and five losing seasons in a row. Six seasons in a row of no playoffs. Remember when we kept going? We kept going. We kept saying, oh, this team, they've never had back-to-back losing seasons since this time. Oh, they've never had three losing seasons in a row since this time. We're well beyond that now. We're well beyond that. So if you are a diehard Broncos fan, and you're coming at this show today at all saying things along the lines of, you know, maybe Vic, they ride this thing out, you're wrong, and you're apparently okay with not even mediocrity. The league is laughing at this team. Thank goodness Urban Meyer was fired. Actually the opposite thought of that. If Urban Meyer wasn't fired, then yeah, Fangio wouldn't be the worst coach in the league. Yeah, I was right. I was right with how I said that. It's bad, man. It's a rough go for this Broncos team. And they got one more game coming up against Kansas City. It means nothing. And you're better off losing this game, getting a draft pick, and turning the page on the quarterback situation and the head coach. And I'll give you that. If George Payton were to say at the end of this thing, after firing Vic Fangio and Pat Shurmur and all that, and not re-signing Teddy, and said, hey, we're going to bring Drew back for one more year, would I argue that? Let's talk about that next. 23 minutes after the hour. This is the whole show powered by PDC Energy. We are on Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFKA. It is so good to be back.
Get the insight you need before making that pick. Listen to Betting Across America with former Buff Mike Pritchard, weekdays at 2 on 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
This is Ali Farokmanesh, assistant men's basketball coach at Colorado State, and you're listening to the whole show on 1310 KFKA.
Well, the second one, they said we lined up in an illegal formation. You know, that killed the one touchdown. And on the first one down there, you know, they did a good job. We tried a special play. It was open, but there was disruption, and we didn't make it. But we got to find a way to punch that in, obviously. I thought he had some good throws, made some good reads. But again, you know, we can't seem to find a rhythm and a consistency in our offense to keep drives sustained, make first downs, and eventually get touchdowns.
Well, maybe you shouldn't, when you're trying to punch something in, not the time to run these lateral wide receiver pitchback throws into the Philly special type deal. I mean, come on. There's Vic Fangio talking about the fourth and goal, whatever, those plays, and then Drew Lock. I don't think he can be here at all. I mean, you can't do this again. There's no way George Payton gets this going. There's no way. Dixon texting in, not sure why you're so grumpy. I remember a few weeks ago when you were all excited because they still had a chance and someone said the Broncos would lose out, so you should have been prepared. They still did have a chance, and that's why it's so disappointing. They did have a chance. They controlled their own destiny, and they got this garbage from it. I thought that maybe this roster could make up for some of the inadequacies that this head coaching staff has shown us. But it's not the case. They couldn't do it. Michael and I were talking during the break. He said it did not feel like a blowout because the roster was not worse than the Chargers roster, even with all this COVID stuff. Your head coaching staff, Vic Fangio, is wildly out of his league as a head coach. Now, my quick answer, if George Payton decided that of the four, he did decide to bring Drew Locke back, would that change my thought process on going after a Russell Wilson and Aaron Rodgers or in the draft? The draft, I'm really not that excited about. I'm not in on Drew Locke. I don't feel like Drew Locke is a franchise quarterback. I don't. But I'm telling you guys, in the preseason and then these last two games, when you give him a full week of preparation, there's something. There's something there. I'm definitely not doing the Teddy Bridgewater thing. I'm done with this Joe Flacco, Teddy Bridgewater, Case Keenum thing. No, we're done. We got to stop with this stuff. Could all of their issues been solved if instead of Teddy, it was Drew Locke? Probably not, okay? I'm not going to go that far. Do I think the Broncos would be a little bit better offensively with Drew than Teddy? Yes, I do believe that. Fangio's talking about, hey, Drew Locke played fine, but that comes with more reps. This is why you go with a younger quarterback, because they have nowhere to go but up. If it's 50-50, and one guy's been in the league 9 years, and the other guy's been in the league 2 years, 3 years, whatever, you go with the younger one, because he has nowhere to go but up. The Teddy Bridgewaters of the world are where they are. That's it. They're not going to get any better. And he didn't. Teddy Bridgewater did exactly what we thought he was going to do this year. He was going to manage games that were manageable. He wasn't going to take a lot of chances. He was going to go for the completion rather than the first down. And that's who he is. He's a serviceable quarterback. That's probably on average, maybe as a starting quarterback, maybe could get you to a 500 record on average if that's what you're cool with. But that was the ceiling for Denver. Why not go with the relatively unknown? Again, I'm stuck on the quarterback position because I do think that this was the biggest error in judgment that Vic Fangio had as head coach of the Denver Broncos. 32 minutes after the hour. We got a short break coming up. The Method Flow Products poll question of the day, available at thewholeshow.com. Should the Broncos go after somebody in the draft? Should they draft a quarterback in the first round? Or should they get aggressive and go all in on an Aaron Rodgers, on a Russell Wilson, or a free agent guy? Go all in money or go all in trade-wise? What do you think? Go vote at thewholeshow.com. 33 minutes after the hour, we got more Broncos talk coming up next. Zach Stevens of DNVR Broncos joining us. But first, we need to get the latest on the local Sports Flash.
Hey, this is Mark Johnson, voice of the Colorado Buffaloes, and you're listening to The Hull Show with my buddy Brady Hull on 1310 KFKA.
Got a little bit of breaking news here. This is kind of what we're getting used to this day and age, I suppose. But before I say that, UNC men's basketball will play Saturday. They will play Saturday, but the men's basketball game that they have set for January 10th at Portland State has been postponed due to COVID-19 protocols within the Portland State program. So we'll see what they do as far as rescheduling and things there. But the Bears will be playing again on this Saturday when they play host to Sacramento State inside Bank of Colorado Arena. That game will also be right here on 103.1 1310 KFKA. Joining me now on our first Advantage text line, 888-530-0043 for the first time this year, Zach Stevens of DNVR Broncos. Zach, my man, how are you?
Oh, Brady, I'm doing great on this new year, trying to... New year, new Broncos team, hopefully, right?
We can only hope. They got one more left, and it's a Saturday game. We're moving this bad boy to Saturday. So I guess if there is a change going to be made, we can turn the page a little bit faster for this Broncos organization. But, Zach, what are you hearing today, man? What is the aftermath like in a game like that from Vic? What's your vibe as far as the future with the big four that we've talked about? Pat Shurmur, Vic Fangio, Drew Locke, Teddy Bridgewater.
Yeah, the vibe of this season is, can it end soon enough?
Oh, my goodness.
And the NFL said, yeah, it can, actually. We're going to end it one day earlier for you. So I guess that's some good news. Black Monday will now become Black Sunday for the Broncos, potentially. But, Brady, I got to say, the vibe I'm getting probably isn't the one that Broncos fans want to hear. There's going to be changes, big changes, after the season. But I'm still not sold that Vic Fangio is going to be gone. The vibe I'm getting is it's still not there yet at that point. Now, there's going to be a new special teams coordinator. There's going to be a new offensive coordinator. But right now, I think George Payton wants to give Vic Fangio one more year, the benefit of the doubt. And all the stuff we've talked about, ownership, also comes into play here, where you just keep Vic for one more year, see if he can turn it around. If not, then the new owner gets to get his own head coach in here in a year. But that's where I'm at. I don't think it's 100% clear cut that Vic is gone.
That's what's just so – and I get it. I get it with the ownership situation. It is the perfect scenario for Vic Fangio because, hey, you know, how many changes do you really want to make before that ownership changes hands? Because, you know, that decision might impact the next head coach or what have you. So I get it there, but man, you're seeing it more than I'm seeing it as far as fans go. Is there any? Can you pick out 1,000 fans that are going to be at that game Saturday that are in Vic Fangio's corner?
Yeah, I mean, that's a great point. And you know what? That is the part that may push this over the top, is just the fan reaction and fan lack of support for this entire coaching staff. Man, if George Payton listens to the fans at all, I don't know how he can stick with them. But I do think if there wasn't any fan input in this, then he would give Vic Fangio another year. But you know what? The fans do come into play, not just the ones on Twitter that I hear about every single minute of every single day, but the ones that will or more so won't be at the game this coming weekend. We've already seen huge no-show numbers. This game, they just moved it, so that makes it so that a lot of people probably can't go to the game. And then on top of that, you got other things to do. It's a meaningless Broncos game. Everyone's expecting the Broncos to get torched in this game, so I wouldn't be surprised that if there's, you know, 10,000, 15,000, 20,000 no-shows. And when it gets to that point, the decision about who the coach is honestly goes above George Payton's head, and it goes to Joe Ellis. Now, does Joe Ellis want to roll with this coaching staff another season with fans not showing up? You know, one of the things that could spell doom for a head coach, especially in the past, is when an owner has a home game and there's so many no-shows and the team gets blown out. That is just so embarrassing for an owner. You see a lot of changes happen after that. The Broncos don't have an owner. The closest thing they have is Joe Ellis. The Broncos get blown out with a ton of no-shows. That may just be too much for Joe to stand by for another year.
Well, and Zach, the opposite of the scenario that we wanted is coming into play. We thought the Broncos would be we were hopeful anyway, that the Broncos would be playing for something and the Chiefs wouldn't be. They would have everything locked up, but the Chiefs are playing for the number one seed. They're coming out, man. They're going to come out teeth bare and ready to rock and roll.
Yeah, they certainly are, and that's just why it does not spell good for the Broncos. And look, this Broncos offense has been terrible since really they played the Chiefs. They weren't able to do anything against the Chiefs the last time they played them. In the past two games, while Drew Locke has been okay, the fact that the Broncos are putting up 13 points in back-to-back weeks, and by the way, 7 of those points came in garbage time yesterday. The week before, 7 of those really came off of Bradley Chubb near pick six. That is going to spell doom for what this means for the Broncos this week. Because, look, the Broncos, Vic Fangio, credit to him, he does a good job controlling these quarterbacks in the AFC West. For the most part, he's done a good job. He contained Patrick Mahomes really well this past game that they played. But if you're only able to put up 13 points, you're going to lose every single time to this Kansas City Chiefs team. And what I'm afraid of is what we saw yesterday, 21-point blowout.
Yeah, and is what's weird, 21-point blowout, and there were so many quirky things that happened in this one. What did you think of the Philly special that the Broncos tried to run their fourth down? What is it about Drew Lock that Pat Shurmur looks at and goes, that guy can do a bunch of crazy things, and I'm just going to throw it at him, and we see what happens?
I mean, seriously, that, you know, to be fair to Pat Shurmur, Drew Lock was wide open on the play. He was wide open. However, there was so much pressure, and it was pretty noticeable that there was going to be so much pressure on the play that you wish the Broncos would have had the opportunity to audible out of it. Drew, after the game, talked about it and said, we don't have that lineup out there really ever. It's pretty much just for that play, so we couldn't audible out of it. And on a fourth down, you got to give your team options. So that was really my biggest gripe with it is, if you see this play is going to end in doom, you should have an option to be able to check out of it. And that, of course, starts with the offensive coordinator. It starts with Pat Shurmur. Then you wish that Drew would have been able to call a timeout or call the timeout or something along those lines, because it really was set up to fail initially, because you certainly can't put that on Kendall Hinton. He was getting absolutely torched. But that Drew was wide open, but, man, you got to have options. Especially if you're going to do something crazy like that.
I guess I look at it and I'm like, we've had issues with quarterback play all year, but now we got to expect someone that's not playing quarterback on a regular to be a quarterback and make those decisions. I don't get it, man. I just don't. Zach, you know me, man. I try not to be that guy that calls out coaches for decisions, because I've never coached. I don't do it at that level, whatever, but it just seems like Pat Shurmur and Fangio, time and time again, even the greenest of football fans can say, why did they do that? Or why didn't they call the timeout there?
Yeah, exactly. And especially when it comes to Vic Fangio's challenges.
Oh, my goodness.
That seems like it's just a running joke now. I mean, at this point, people just find it comical how bad it is. 1 of 8 on challenges is terrible. And those are things where if Vic Fangio stays another year, I have to imagine that George Payton would not only be the one to pick the special teams coordinator, to pick the offensive coordinator, he would have a bigger input than Vic Fangio would. But on top of that, I would have to think that George Payton would say, we need to change the way you manage games. So whether it's we're handing over the reins to Mike Munchak, whether we're bringing in a game management coach, and then also changing the way that we call challenges, because Vic alluded to earlier in the season that he has a guy that he talks to in the booth about challenges. That guy's got to change, or there needs to be a committee or something like that, because Vic Fangio, essentially, if he stays, would be the defensive coordinator that has the head coach title, and so many other obligations would be handed out to other people, because it's not getting it done. And Brady, you fooled me once in the first year of Vic. Okay, shame on you. You fooled me twice, three times now, three full seasons of game management issues, challenging issues, timeout issues. That you can't expect Vic Fangio to change who he is next year.
No, you can't. And that's what's the – because I've heard that too. You know, a lot of us have said, okay, is there a scenario where Vic could just kind of really focus on the defense, but he does make those quarterback decisions. He does make those personnel decisions. And I guess I look at that and say, do you want a guy that's so plugged into the defense that – He doesn't really, you know what, it's 50-50, flip a coin. I know that was a joke, but dude, I actually am starting to think that that was a real life thing. The Vic's like, I'm flipping a coin. I don't know, man. They're both fine. Like, the further we've gone with this, I get that feeling. So it's frustrating. I don't see how it could happen, but because of the ownership issues, I could see that. That's the only way that I could really see this potentially running it back for another year. And like you said, the fans' support, or lack thereof, on Saturday could sway this thing one way or the other.
Yeah, and I do expect there to be a big, big no-show count here. But if George Payton doesn't want to give up on the second-ranked defense, that's how Vic stays. That exactly. And Vic saying, look, I want to stay here, Pat. I want to stay here, George. You can take over the offense, special teams. You can control it all. And you know what? That's kind of what Vic Fangio hinted at today when asked about how do you turn the offense around. And he said, you know, with George here, we're going to get this turned around. And Of course, I don't expect Vic to come out and say, yep, I'm going to be fired in 6 days from now, so I'll say my goodbyes. Now, of course, he thinks he's going to be back, but, man, just every time I think Vic Fangio's out the door, there's just something that, and people I talk to that just make me think, oh, man, I don't think it's as obvious as that. And on top of that, Brady, another reason why, if George Payton knows that Vic Fangio's going to be fired, well, he's doing a disservice to himself and the organization by not doing it. Starting last week, any NFL team that either fired their coach or told their coach they were moving on from them after the season could start interviewing other coaches. And this is the first year that this has happened. George Payton didn't do that. And so if he knows that Vic Fangio is going to be gone, well, he's doing a disservice by not jumping on that coaching carousel already now and getting coaching candidates interviews by now. So that needs to be something that if George is going to do this, he should have done it last week. He should do it right now. And that's another reason why I just think a decision has not been made yet. Vic still has a chance.
Yeah, and no one would blame you for that, Zach, because of what you just said, teams are allowed to interview now, and the fact that, because there's nothing to gain on Saturday. There's nothing, I mean, is there anything to gain? Pull off the upset of a century and beat the Chiefs? I think you'd still walk away and say, well, the Chiefs just overlooked them. I don't know. I think we'd all find a way to make that a negative thing, to be real honest.
Yeah, we certainly would. The only thing you have to gain is worst draft position right now.
Right.
The Broncos have the 10th pick or the 11th pick. They can easily get in the top 10, but it requires them losing this week.
Yeah. Oh boy. Well, I know my producer hates this because he's the win at all costs, no matter what. But you got to get the draft pick. You build this thing up, and the thing of it is, though, and Zach, this is our poll question. This is our Method Flow Products poll question of the day. Do you think the Broncos, and I didn't even add Drew Lock and Teddy to this because I don't know. I think they turned the page. But do you think the Broncos draft a quarterback in the first round? Or do they, and I've asked you this before, or do they get aggressive on if Russell Wilson's a possibility, Aaron Rodgers, or anybody, to be frank, any free agent stud out there? What do you see this Broncos team doing more realistically? Or do they run it all back next year?
Oh, boy, I hope they don't run it all back. I think they're going to try their hardest to be aggressive with these top-tier guys, specifically Rodgers and Russell. Right now, I just don't think that the Broncos are going to be able to land either of those guys. It kind of seems like Russ is actually going to be the guy that's more available, and I just think there's going to be other teams that he wants to go to more. So I think the Broncos end up, and now here's where I'm hoping. I hope they go to the draft and take a guy in the first round instead of turning to the second tier of guys, the Kirk Cousins of the world, the Matt Ryans of the world. That is almost that's a nightmare scenario to me right there, because not only are you investing in one of these guys that's proven not to be the guy, but then you're paying them tons of money and giving up a lot of draft capital. That's the worst situation to me.
Yeah, no question about it. Zach, my friend, I will be, as I always say, because there's always something. Well, we're hopeful that we're going to get some kind of news coming. I hate to wish a man's job was not going to exist anymore, but it's sports. It's video game life, right? So we talk about a guy's job much differently than we talk about yours or I's.
Yeah, and you know what I say about being a fired head coach. Of course, I don't wish that on anyone, but being a fired head coach is probably the best job in the world because you get paid so. If you can put your pride aside, man, you're just getting a fat paycheck for not having to do the job anymore.
Hey, and I don't think Vic would mind being in some sweatpants, watching some Hallmark movies, and making some meatballs. I don't think he'd mind it at all. Zach, my friend, happy New Year! Love having you on the program. We'll reach out and look forward to having you on later this week.
That sounds great, Brady. Thanks for having me on. Happy New Year.
All right, man. Zach Stevens of DNVR Broncos. I got some texts coming in. We'll get to those on the other side. Before we do that, I'll tell you about a great sponsor of ours. It's Mosier Funeral and Cremation Service, the only family-owned and operated funeral home in Greeley or Evans. Their number is 970-330-6824. Just remember, okay, this is a tough conversation to have, no doubt. But live well, plan ahead. Plan ahead, get it done, taken care of, and live well. Give Scott Robin or a member of their great staff a call today. Talk to them about pre-planning. It truly is an amazing gift. 53 minutes after the hour. It's the whole show, powered by PDC Energy on Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1, 1310 KFKA.
Join the legendary broadcaster Jerry Schemmel this season for UNC basketball coverage. On Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
This is Steve Fairchild at FairchildQBTraining.com, and you are listening to The Whole Show on 1310 KFKA.
Welcome back to The Whole Show, powered by PDC Energy on Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFKA. First Advantage text line is 888-530-0043. All right, let's read some text. McLean, why did Javonte Williams look like crap? I mean, he's still a rookie. I don't know that he looked like crap. He didn't look right. But these guys, Patrick Surtain and Javonte Williams, I don't think have been given even one bad game yet. We haven't seen it. So, well, let's talk about that. Eastside Chris Mysterio, I'll get to your text. Bring those texts in. 888-530-0043 on the First Advantage text line. I got Nuggets Jazz tickets to give away in the second hour. You do not want to miss that. We'll be right back.